Daughter Knitting production. Today's segments include On the Needles, Travel Knitting, When Knitting Attacks, and Mother Knows Best. Come on, let's chat. Well, thanks for coming back after the terrible sound quality of the beginning of last week's segment. We're still a little bit rough here, but we're kind of getting our bearings, so thanks for sticking with us. This week, we've got some exciting stuff to talk about, so let's get to it. Let's start with On the Needles. Mom, what have you got on the needles?
Well, I've got a terrible case of starditis, and all of the socks that I started after stitches have been finished, and I have nothing to knit on, poor me. So I dug through my box of UFOs and assorted yarn and just grabbed stuff and dug through the box of sock patterns and just started willy-nilly.
Willy-nilly.
And starting willy-nilly, unless you're doing vanilla socks, is not a good idea. And a steep learning curve for me this week. So I started and I thought, okay, I better do some gauge swatches. Well, that was fine. So I had to shuffle around sock yarn that I had assigned to pattern because the gauge wasn't right, obviously. And then I started knitting, and what I had thought would look fine didn't look fine. There's, if you have a dark sock yarn,
or a variegated and dark sock yarn,
obviously there is not enough definition for an involved pattern. So I've started something on this absolutely beautiful Cosba that somebody bought despite my serious yarn diet. Thank you very much, daughter. And it is beautiful. It feels like it wants to be my ball
Your kitten.
Of my ball of pet yarn.
Well, if you haven't worked with Cosba before, it's 80 merino, 80 superwash merino, 10 cashmere, 10 nylon, and it is wonderful stuff to work with. And it's a heavy, fingering weight or a light sport weight, depending on who you talk to. If you ask me, it's a sport weight.
Well, it's absolutely beautiful. I love it. But the pattern I picked doesn't work for it at all. So as we were getting ready to do the podcast, I frogged it back to smithereens. And I've got the faceted ripsock pattern, and I'm going to swatch the pattern and see if it's going to work or not.
Well, that's a good idea. I often find that it's really hard to match variegated yarns with patterns that are involved enough to keep your interest, but not so involved that you lose everything. I really happen to like the Regia Silk sock yarn for stitch definition. I was working on a pair of monkey socks today during a meeting, or not today, this week during a meeting, and I find that the Regia Silk does a beautiful job for really, really involved stuff. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm kind of burned out on vanilla.
Yeah,
it happens. Although, the Cosba Monarch yarn?
Oh, the colorway is Monarch.
Yes. That might be a vanilla sock after all, but maybe I'll do something interesting for the ribbing or something.
Well, I'm still working on my hand-spun sock. It's actually my transitional object sock, I like to call it, because it's been living in my purse for close to a month now. And I added a picot edge because I was so incredibly bored, but it's my pretty hand-spun, and really, I feel like doing more than vanilla socks with some of the hand-spun I've done is gilding the lily.
I was digging through Nikki Epstein's Knitting on the Edge, mm-hmm, and Knitting Over the Edge. Knitting Beyond the Edge, and all of her fun books, and I was looking for something because I had bought some really pretty, fairly thick sock yarn in a lovely autumn leaf gold and in another lovely autumn leaf red.
Oh, yeah, we got that at Marilyn Sheep and Wool a couple years back.
Exactly. When you guys cleaned out the booth.
We don't clean out booths.
Okay.
We help them with their return shipping problem.
Ah. Anyway, so, and it wanted to be an autumn leaf pattern, but it didn't want to be generic.
You didn't want to do Fair Isle or?
No, I didn't want to do Fair Isle. I wanted to do a relief relief leaf pattern. And the Aspen Levy or standard oval leaf shape doesn't do anything for me. And the yarn hollered and screeched and complained and whined and said it wanted to be more in the shape of a maple leaf.
That'll be fun to work out.
Yeah.
You should talk to Colleen about that. Colleen's really good with weird leaf architecture and her love of botanical goodness.
Absolutely. So what I had thought is something tessellating. And I looked through knitting books, and I looked, turned Ravelry upside down, and I didn't find a maple leaf that I liked. So I looked into tessellating quilting patterns, and I found something that I may be able to translate from quilting into knitting. So we'll see what that turns out like. And Jasmine informs me that once I come up with a pattern, it's going to be unknitty.
You're going to submit it to Knitty.
I'm going to submit it to Knitty. So Jasmine says.
Let's not put the cart before the horse.
I shouldn't be assuming.
Yes, because we know what assuming is.
Exactly.
Anyway, I'm working on the Ice Queen I talked about last week. About it's the same hot pink as my hair, and one day last week I was really jonesing to start it, and I just cast off. I finished my half of the pair of slippers for Colleen. So I felt justified in casting on my Ice Queen. So I went to the bead shop with my materials list, and I looked at the Swarovski crystal pearls, and I didn't quite like them. And I think I talked about this last week, where I instead got the crystal Swarovski crystals in the same hot pink as my yarn. And it's actually turning out to be quite lovely. But the problem I had with the crystals is that the borehole in the middle is really, really, really thin. It's fine, it'll fit over the yarn fine, but my crochet hook, I was using a 0.9 millimeter one, and it's too big. And I wasn't really comfortable using a smaller crochet hook to thread the beads through, just because I always split the yarn if I go smaller than that.
Yeah.
And then it's a hassle, and yeah. So I used those appliance threaders from the dentist, and I pre-threaded them, and that's working a lot better for me. So I'm really pleased about that. And, oh, I went to the Color Fiber Festival yesterday with Tika.
Okay, yes, I saw the haul.
Which is sitting on my table, and I like to call that scientific research. I got some stuff from Pigeon Roof Studios, where I haven't previously purchased before, but I met Krista, and she was perfectly charming, and we chatted with her for a good long time, and we saw the girls from Tactile and A Verb for Keeping Warm. Don't look at me all cross-eyed. They were at Stitches.
It wasn't cross-eyed. It was puzzled. I was thinking, what is the verb for keeping warm? Knitting?
Yarn?
That's not a verb. It's a
noun. You can make yarn a verb. I yarn now. That would mean I'm going to go buy yarn.
Okay.
But that's more like that lolcats, can I have cheeseburger thing. Anyway, so I saw them again, and I met the gals from A Girl on the Rocks. And in the name of science and experimentation, I got some stuff. I picked up some different stuff from Pigeon Roof in colors that really appealed to me. I got some blends from Tactile I hadn't tried before in colors that just made my heart go pitter-pat. And if you look at my haul, it seems I'm kind of in a pink place.
Yes.
Given the pink hair and all the pink yarn and the pink roving. So Tika and I sat and we spun outside, and it was perfectly lovely. It was actually perfect weather in Berkeley that day. And we had a really terrific time. We actually met a couple other people whose blogs we read. We met Asia from Sock Prawn, and we met a gal who's going on a cruise with us, and it was just lovely. I gave a very brief wheel spinning demo to someone who just walked out of the drop spinning class because she was fascinated with the wheel. So that was really, really nice. We had a great time. We didn't stay too long so that we made the drive back all right. And we actually had a really terrific day. We ate Disreputable Tacos, and we stopped at a taco stand in a not-so-savory neighborhood.
Yeah, those are usually the best.
Oh, it was so good. Tika and I wolfed them down, and it was amazing. There's nothing like licking your fingers after eating good food in the car. Yes, it was just that classy. So we had a super good time. I'm looking forward to going again the next time they do it. I might take a class. The only reason I didn't take a class this time is because I had a family engagement. Otherwise, I would have sat in on the rare breeds spinning class, because that's always fun. And I like to try a little bit of everything so I can get a really good idea of what I really, really like. So it was a lot of fun.
I didn't go.
No, you worked.
That was a good excuse because I would have loved to go, but I would have bought stuff, and my stash already has gigantic proportions and it's big enough. I don't need to feed it anymore.
You are so funny. I don't believe in that kind of thing. I don't know. I had a good time and I only bought stuff that absolutely overwhelmed me, so
Good.
we'll see how much of it I get to keep when all is said and done. There wasn't a whole lot of yarn though. There was a lot of spinning stuff, a lot of roving. Maybe I just didn't see the yarn. Maybe I'm yarn blind.
Were you looking for yarn or were you looking for fiber?
Oh no. Katika and I zeroed in on the pigeon roof and we may have bought
Pigeon
some.
roof?
Pigeon roof was that one, that bag.
Did you buy yarn?
No yarn.
That's what I'm saying. You weren't looking for
I didn't buy
yarn.
any yarn. I'm yarn blind.
You had fiber in your eyes.
I do. Neurice? Gracious me. Okay. This leads to our main segment where we're going to talk about travel knitting. It is the end of April and travel season is well upon us. As I mentioned before, I'm going on the Sea Sox cruise in a week and a half to from Alaska all the way up to, or from Seattle up to Alaska and then back down, and it's all very exciting and very well organized. And Patricia, who organizes the Sea Sox cruises, was kind enough to include the TSA guidelines in our packets. And that got me thinking
TSA?
about TSA. I want to say Travel Security Administration, but it really is the airport Nazis. I mean police. I mean security. So, depending on where you go, sometimes the security people are cool and will let you take your knitting on the plane. Sometimes they won't. If you talk to five different people, you'll get five different answers. For me, what I do, I don't pack my knitting. I'll have a sock on, like, that's not true. I'll have a sock on either wood needles or on plastic needles. And I always take a self-addressed postage paid envelope that will be heavy enough to carry my knitting so that in case the TSA person is in a bad mood, I can still ship my knitting home and I won't be out, a ball of yarn and my needles and all the work I've done. So that's really a good policy. I'm really excited about going on the cruise, but if you can't knit on the plane, what else do you do? So we have for you some alternatives to knitting midair. My favorite one, of course, is reading about knitting. We happen to be during the season where I believe Stephanie Pearl McPhee's newest book is out.
Yes, it is.
I need to get that.
I was reading her blog, and she's signing the books at on her tour now.
Awesome. If you're local to San Jose, San Francisco, the Bay Area, Stephanie Pearl McPhee will be speaking at the Maker Faire on, I think, Saturday, May 3rd.
Where is that?
San Mateo?
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's not too far, not too close, but we're good. That'll be fun. But I love to read about knitting. So you could take a yarn harlot book. You could take one of those one the new Kat Vorty book. Pathways in Sock Dizzying?
Oh,
That's got
yes.
tons of stuff to read in it.
This is like reading about chocolate and then not having any chocolate handy.
Sometimes I can read about knitting without my fingers itching too much.
Oh, yeah?
Maybe. Alternatively, you could listen to knitting podcasts, which I'm a big fan of. I tend to listen to them during my commute. And other than that, you can just read, normal books, which also is, it's all right. So, those are my alternatives to knitting midair. Some people just panic if they can't knit because it reduces their stress.
Well, I always pack some knitting.
In your suitcase?
No.
No?
I snuck in some socks on bamboo needles on my last trip to Europe, and it was like a security blanket.
So you just had it there in case you wanted it?
Yeah. In case I was feeling well enough to knit, but it was there if I wanted it.
Mom has a rough time flying. We're gonna leave it at that because anything more than that would be gross.
Actually, the older I get, the better it gets, so it's fine.
Oh, well, that's good because you're just getting older.
Yes, rapidly.
All right. What else? Oh, packing knitting for travel.
Yes.
You have to pack your stuff efficiently. We all know that when you travel, what you take with you needs to be packed efficiently. And when you come back, you have to be even more efficient because chances are you've probably hit at least a yarn store while you're traveling. When I travel, I make sure to hit at least one yarn shop. When I went on my honeymoon with Andrew, we hit, I think, five in the week we were in Seattle, which was good. We went to museums, we did stuff we both liked, and we went to knitting shops, which was a lot of fun.
The
Brought home.
man is a prince.
He's not a prince, he also knits. He's all right.
Frog prince?
Frog prince. He's really tall. Whatever. So I had some suggestions. If you are a person who likes to pack a lot of shoes, you could stuff balls of sock yarn in your shoes. It'll help them keep their shape while you're traveling. And you have a place to put your sock yarn where you wouldn't normally pack other things. Do you have any suggestions for packing your knitting efficiently?
Let me think about that. I didn't pack that much knitting last time I traveled. I didn't pack any sock projects. I packed the Icarus shawl. And how much space does a ball of lace weight and circulars and a pattern take up?
Well, that's what Elizabeth Zimmerman's point was, that lace shawls are the perfect vacation knitting. I actually worked on a lace shawl the last time I was on a trip. I worked on my Lily of the Valley shawl, and it turns out that some of us can knit a Lily of the Valley after a couple of Bloody Marys in Las Vegas.
Can some of us now?
Some of us can.
Ah, what kind of flowers did they turn out? Actually, lilies of the valleys? Or tulips of the valleys? Okay.
I may have had to undo three rows, but you know, it was fun. But that's a good point, packing lace. Something simple and small is always, I think, the best way to go when you're traveling. What I'm packing for the cruise is only one pair of socks in progress because I know I'm gonna buy stuff while I'm on the cruise. In addition to that, I think it's really important if you want to knit with hand paints or anything that comes in a skein as opposed to a ball to wind it up before you go. Because there's really nothing more awkward than calling up the bellboy and handing him your skein and saying, "Okay, hold, stand there with your hands out. Now look pretty while I
While I
wind my
wind.
ball." And depending on the hotel you go to, sometimes they are kind enough to do that. I'm not going to say whether I have or I have not done that.
Have you heard of anybody else doing it? This sounds like a yarn harlot thing.
I don't know if the yarn harlot did it, but I know somebody else who did. And it worked. If you're nice enough, they'll usually do anything. That's my policy, is always be polite. And that way, when you have insane, weird requests, they
Accommodate.
sometimes accommodate. So that's pretty good.
Another thing that I wanted to mention. I'm sorry, I needed to take care of the frog in the throat. You packed a whole bunch of knitting needles and
Oh, yeah, for the classes.
for the classes, namely my set of Knit Picks Harmony needles.
In all fairness, I too have a set of Harmony needles. However, I have moved since I bought them, and some of them are in projects that I can't really locate right now. So we still have some unpacking to do, despite the fact that we moved a few months ago. My life is still somewhat in and out of boxes, and we're still trying to get stuff. So really, I have my own stuff. I'm not just stealing mom's for fun and profit.
Not usually she accuses me of doing that, but be that as it may, my Knit Picks Harmony Needle kit was accessible because I just got it for Christmas. From whom?
I think Ursula gave you those ones. Sam gave you the double points, and I gave you squat. No, I gave you something. I don't remember
You
what I gave
gave
you.
me rat stuff.
Did I give you rat stuff?
Yes. You gave me bags with
Oh, the Ratatouille stuff.
Ratatouille stuff
We got
on
you a
it.
big present too, didn't
You
we?
gave me red sock yarn. You got me a purse.
Oh, that's right.
I got
Hand
the.
spun red lace weight yarn.
Yes. So anyway, I had to dig two pairs of needles out of projects to have the set complete. And I thought if I had left a note with the needles as to what project they were in, it would have been so much easier to find. Is that kind of compulsive and retentive?
No, it's perfect.
Good, thank you.
I think being organized is always the best way of living.
Yeah, your father accused me of being organized only if it came to knitting and sewing.
No, what's the problem with that?
That is so not true.
What's the problem with that? Even so, better to be very organized in one part of your life than not organized at all. That's what I say.
Right. So, continuing with being organized when it came to knitting, another thing that I did that you really liked was making a index card and putting the label of the sock yarn over it and putting the name, the date of the purchase on the label of the sock yarn. Mm-hmm. And then when the sock is knitted, you put the label on an index card. You write on your index card what you made out of it. Mm-hmm. And if you made it for somebody, who it was for. And if it's for yourself, obviously it's for yourself. And you take about a yard of the yarn, mm-hmm, and wind it around the index card and put it in your box of index cards. So if, God forbid,
You develop a hole.
You develop a hole. You have yarn to patch it, to darn it.
That's if you're of the darning persuasion.
Well,
I prefer to give my socks that need darning away. You can have these if you fix them.
Store-bought socks, the way I darn them is I go take them to the trash bin and shake my head and say, darn, 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 darn.
Like the yarn harlot?
Like the yarn harlot?
Yeah, I think she does that.
Maybe, and drop it in the trash bin.
It's one way of doing it.
Hand-knit socks, I think I'd be willing to invest maybe 20 minutes to fix a hole.
I've been knitting socks for, I think, 10 years now, maybe a little bit more, and I have darned one pair of socks.
How many holes have you put in your socks?
I haven't put holes through wearing them. I've developed holes because of flooring issues.
Yes.
Our new house had some exposed nails that needed to be reseated in the hardwood, and we lost, I think, 3 pairs of socks to that, and one pair, Andrew, was heartbroken, so I told him I'd fix them, but they're waiting.
Who is your...
My resident darner.
Yeah.
That would be you. I actually fixed the first pair of socks I ever knit for him when I was in college because they ended up with a weird hole. Anyway, he was heartbroken and he wanted me to fix them. So that was the singular one pair of socks that I have darned in my entire darning knitting history. So there you go. Speaking of darning and knitting, that kind of is a good segue into our next segment, which we like to call
When Knitting Attacks. My attack knitting, I have been kind of stumped by the Anne Norling Perfect Teeth sweater pattern.
What are you stumped about?
It is lovely. It is beautiful. And I told you I was going to wear it to work. It is that versatile.
But it's very classic.
It is very classic. And I like the cabled ribbing, mm-hmm, which makes it kind of elegant. And what I really like is the waist shaping. Uh-huh. There's something wrong with the numbers that I'm either not doing right or there's an issue with the math and the pattern. But we'll see.
All right.
I'll let you know what happens next. And my other knitting attack issue is the yarn disagreeing with the patterns and not playing together. So I've been doing a lot of frogging. And matter of fact, as we were setting up to do the podcast, I frogged all of the cuff and the 4 pattern repeats that I had done out of the Kasbah.
Yeah, the pattern you had was way too involved.
It was very pretty. And now I'm working on the faceted rib sock pattern out of the little box of socks, and we'll see if that works. That might actually work better. And
it's looking very promising.
Thank you for the suggestion. Yes, thank you for the suggestion.
Excellent. I actually don't have any when knitting attacks this week, I don't think. Probably because I haven't really been knitting.
Do we have spinning attacks?
Only if you count having to elbow Tika in the face to grab the roving I wanted. I didn't really elbow her in the face.
It was more spiritual elbowing?
It was. Mentally? I may have said, get out of my way or I will throw an elbow at you. But, you know, we did okay. No, I had more like when animals attack. But
who attacked where? What? Oh.
Oh, I got stung by the most giant carpenter bee ever when we were in Berkeley. It had landed on my Victoria spinning wheel bag. And I thought, oh, a bee. So I took a picture of it in perspective with a penny. to show you exactly how big it was, freakishly large. And I thought, okay, well, I'll wait on spinning until it flies away because I figured it wasn't worth hassling the bee. And I was like, well, I don't want to get stung. And yeah. And I thought it had flown away because I was chit-chatting with the other gals sitting there, and I reached down to unzip the bag because I couldn't see the bee. And searing, mind-numbing pain was bad, and my finger got all swollen, and yeah.
Didn't you know about to be or not to be?
Nya-nya-nya-nya. You are so funny.
Literate.
Perhaps, but I've had a pretty mellow knitting week. Just give it another week until I've got actual stuff I'm trying to finish, and that's when I'm gonna have problems because it'll fight back. You know it will. For the next segment, which we call Mother Knows Best, it's actually my turn, the daughter, to give some tips. I needed to buy a new knitting bag because, not a knitting bag, but so much like a purse that I could also tote knitting in. And my criteria for purses always includes there needs to be a place to put my knitting. I need to be able to fit at least one sock with a reasonable sized ball of yarn in my purse. And I've managed to get my purses down to pretty small, but I thought I want something I can take with me when I'm walking around and I'm not carrying like a real adult purse and something that'll sit, you know, slung over my shoulder and won't give me back problems or anything. And I ended up with a Kipling bag. And they're kind of spendy. The one I got was, I don't know, $80, but it's got lots of zippers on the outside and lots of little pouches on the outside so you can put your house keys and your cell phone and the stuff you need to get to really fast on the outside. And then it has this huge center bag that you can put your knitting in or whatever else. I mean, you could put a good size project in here. I mean, take a look.
What do you have in there?
What do I have in here? Well, I have my wallet in the center part because I thought that was safe. I have my giant sunglasses case. I've got my digital camera. I had my sock in here earlier before we started recording, my iPod. I mean, I've really, like, it's loaded up. Check it out.
What is it made out of? Oh,
Notes. I think it's like
no,
parachute fabric.
it's ripstop.
Ripstop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like the zippers on it.
They've got really solid, like, not slippery zippers, but zippers that move well so they don't get stuck too easily. There's also the little clippy doodle on the outside pocket for your keys so you can fish around and grab this. And just yank your keys out of your purse. And since my keys always sink to the bottom of my purse, somehow purse physics has affected me adversely with my keys. But yeah, it's got all these great pouches, and you can adjust the strap, and you can fill it as much or as little as you want. And the nice thing about the ripstop fabric is that it kind of curves. It's not too firm. Like, it'll hold its shape, but unlike the messenger bag I've been carrying, it's like a mini messenger bag that I've been using. Unlike that, it actually conforms to your body a little bit if you haven't overstuffed it. So I really like that. One of the things that I look for in a purse or a knitting bag is no Velcro.
Yeah.
Velcro and knitting is heartbreaking. Velcro and mohair is terrible. Velcro and touch me will make you cry.
But Velcro loves knitting.
Velcro does love knitting. Knitting does not love Velcro. It's one-sided. So, yeah. And I actually got this one so I could put my Ravelry pin on there and some of my knitting pins and just a casual purse that I could carry, more like my backpack from high school where it had writing on it and buttons on it, and it was more of a statement piece than completely functional. So there you go. That's this week's Mother Knows Best. How about you, Mom? Do you have any Mother Knows Best tips for the listeners this week?
Actually, I do. I'm going to talk about heels and toes.
Heels and toes? Pitter pat.
Pitter pat. Head and shoulders, heels and toes. No head and shoulders, but heels and toes. So, for turning a heel, there are all these numbers, and knit so many, and then knit two together, and knit one, and turn, and then knit this number. And I think it's just so confusing. It makes my head want to explode, and I don't want to turn heels because it's hard to remember math.
Really?
Yeah, for me it is. So the basic formula is knit two stitches beyond the center of the heel, knit two together, knit one, turn, knit purl past two stitches, knit two together,
Purl two
purl.
together.
Yeah, that one.
Purl
And
one, flip.
then each row, it gets a little bit longer. Well, I don't want to do the math. So I put a stitch marker in the center of my heel.
That's pretty standard. I do that too.
That saves me from figuring out if it's the...
You still have to count to get to that middle, though. You're not count-free. Well, 1, 2, 3 stitches.
Yes. Count Chocula. I'm going to nibble on your... So the other part is toes. And it seems to me that a lot of people I talk to, they're not happy kitchenering their toes.
Some people are not Kitchener people.
Yeah, and one gal I talked to at one of the knitting stores says she does her socks toe up so she can avoid kitchenering.
Well, that's one way of dealing with the Kitchener problem.
Yeah, and I know I've had socks unfinished because I didn't have my chibis handy, or I just didn't feel like straining my brain and concentrate enough to do Kitchener. So I get the E-Zine Knitting Daily.
E-Zine.
Yes, that a one. And so every morning on my computer, it pops up. You have an email from Knitting Daily. And a couple of weeks ago, they had something on a knitted graft instead of kitchenering for the toes.
Interesting.
I absolutely loved the idea. And so I took 6 socks that had been knitted and just needed to be grafted.
6 socks.
6 socks.
Sounds like the beginning of a tongue twister.
And I opened the directions and sat down and did 1 and did 2. And within, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes tops, I had them all grafted and ready to go.
Awesome.
So it was extremely successful. And everybody that I have introduced this to has absolutely liked it.
Except for me. I love to graft.
You haven't tried.
I love Kitchener stitch.
Have you even tried it?
I totally tried it. I tried it on the socks I did for my brother-in-law's mom. I thought it was a little bit more time-consuming than just a straight Kitchener. But I also enjoy doing Kitchener. I am the Kitchener queen.
Well, once you do it a couple of times, it is faster than Kitchenering. Or not.
Perhaps.
Well, the good thing about it is if you're stuck somewhere and you don't have scissors or a chibi.
It's one good way of MacGyvering it.
Yes, you can just gnaw through your yarn and then knit it up. Do a grafted knit. Knitted graft? Knitted graft. Yes.
So you can find that on Knitting Daily's website. If you're not on the list, I highly recommend getting on it. It happens to be the highlight of my day or one of the highlights of my day, pulling it up and either learning something new or reading something new. So I really enjoy that. As always, we'd like to give thanks to our listeners for listening, Patrick Leiden for the lovely theme song, and as always, our show notes can be found at knitmoregirls.blogspot.com, knitmoregirls.blogspot.com, and you can always reach us by email at knitmoregirls@yahoo.com. This is Jasmine
and Gigi
telling you to knit more.